Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, Savage Truthers, to The Savage Truth. I am your host, Cicely Davis. Always and truly excited to have you join me yet again for another episode. There is so much going on, and it just simply doesn't stop, and it's not going to, because Donald J. Trump is in office for the next four glorious years. If you're new to the channel, welcome. Super excited to have you. I'm grateful that you have, you know, decided to kind of give me a peek and allow me to speak into your world and see if you like me. I think you will. I'm feeling pretty confident of that. For those of you who are returning, the ride or dies, those who are the loyalists, I thank you. I wouldn't, I couldn't, and I'm just not interested in doing this without you. Now, for both of you, both groups, whether you're new or returning, I have an ask, and it is this: to please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube as we get into this week's haps. Now, to be honest with you, I simply can't keep up, and I know you can't either. Donald Trump has not been in office for even a month yet, and it's just nonstop winning. Are you tired of the winning? I am not. I am starved for it, right? And it's just so good. I wake up every day and I'm celebrating. And every time I celebrate a new piece, a new piece of information or a new action that Donald Trump took, I celebrate and I turn around and he's done yet another one to top the previous one. So it's been really good. It's just been this feast of winning, and it's been quite enjoyable. I'm sure you're with me. I'm sure you share in my sentiment. But I want to talk about a few things today just to kind of give you a little bit of a recap, because I'm not sure if you've heard, but a group of Democrat activists, Congress people, you know, Washington bureaucrats and the other, attempted to storm the U.S. Department of Education only to be denied entry. They were not allowed in. Their actions, fueled by left-wing rhetoric, of course, reflect a deep misunderstanding of the true issues plaguing the American education system, to say the least. Okay, Democrats have long championed an education model that prioritizes bureaucracy, union control, and ideological indoctrination over real academic achievement. And we've all suffered for it. Our country has suffered from it. Our children have suffered for it. Our future has therefore suffered for it. Innovation, right? Education and innovation has suffered. Their protest was not about improving education, but about maintaining the failing status quo that has left American students unprepared for the future. Now, we know directly that education pays into the preparedness for the future. And instead of pushing for more government intervention, they should be advocating for school choice. They should be advocating for parental rights and policies that put students first. There's an idea, an educational system that actually puts students first. Imagine that. The Democrat Party has consistently been wrong about education, about promoting policies that have led to declining test scores, failing schools, and a generation of students more focused on activism than academics. I mean, we are literally raising a generation of students, children, people in learning that hate their very country that they're learning in, right? We're raising activists. That's not what we're supposed to do. That's not a reflection of a strong, meritable education system. They continue to support teacher unions that resist accountability and oppose school choice initiatives that would allow parents to find the best educational opportunities for their children. They have an obsession, and their obsession was critical race theory, right? It was gender ideology and other divisive criteria and curricula, which further alienates parents who simply want their kids to receive a solid education in math, in science, and in reading, the basics. Instead of recognizing these failures, Democrats doubled down on their destructive policies, demonizing those who challenge their broken system. Now, Donald Trump, our wonderful president, he understands this. He understood that the Department of Education has become an unnecessary, bloated bureaucracy that served the interests of politicians and unions rather than our students.
right? And his efforts to dismantle the department were a step in the right direction. I love it that he floated this idea. I love it that he's causing people to react, right? Giving more power back to states, local governments, and more importantly, back to parents.
Education is best handled at the community level, where parents and educators can make decisions based on the needs of their students rather than bowing to federal overreach. Now, eliminating the Department of Education would cut wasteful spending. It would reduce bureaucratic red tape and allow for more innovation and competition in the education system. After all, how did all the brilliant minds of of the world, and especially in America, how did they become so brilliant? How did they get their education? How did they achieve outside of a Department of Education? Okay, it's simply not needed, and certainly not in the way that Washington operates through it. The failed storming of the Department of Education highlights just how desperate and misguided the Democrats have become. Their radical agenda is not about helping students. It's more about maintaining control over an education system that has been in decline for decades under their leadership. This is Democrat-led education system. The future of American education depends on empowering parents, supporting school choice, and rejecting the leftist indoctrination that has taken hold in our classrooms. And Donald Trump's vision of reducing the federal government's role in education is the path forward. And it ensures that America's students receive the quality education they absolutely deserve. Now, I'm going to have Rick play this video. And in this video, you're going to see the congresspeople of shame. You're going to see all the tyrants and the activists, and you're going to hear them complaining. You're also going to see the officials come out and deny them access. But you're going to hear one voice in particular, loudmouth. See if you can point this out. Go ahead and roll the tape, Rick.
We're coming in. We're coming in. Don't lock the door. We're coming in. Who are you?
You're not coming in.
Who are you?
Who under whose order?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Who are you, sir?
Do you have business here?
Yes. I have sent the secretary. I have sent the assistant secretary a letter, alerting her that we would be here today, and we've asked her for a meeting.
Yeah, I don't know that that's been accepted, sir, until that's accepted.
What do you do here?
What do you do here?
I have security responsibility.
Get out of the way. We pay you for your job. We pay you.
We're members of Congress.
We pay you.
We're members of Congress.
Nobody has accepted me.
We haven't heard that from the secretary. We haven't heard that from the spokesman.
I'm relaying that.
You are not the spokesman for the department. You are a security guard.
Can you identify?
I already did.
Where's your bag?
Where's your ID?
We are not.
It's not good enough.
We are not a threat to security. We're members of Congress, and we want to ask a question.
We walk into the White House without having to go through magnetometers.
Can we get someone?
This is an outrage.
I'd like to speak with someone who works here.
Yes. So what are you going to do? You're going to beat us up if we go in?
I mean, you're going to,
we want you to move out of the way.
I'm not steamrolling you.
Get out of the way.
This says all access entrance.
Stand aside, sir.
This says
all access entrance.
Please stand aside, sir.
I'm not standing aside.
Why not?
Because my role is to make sure that.
What authority do you have to block members of Congress from the oversight? We don't have oversight responsibilities. By what authority can you deny members of Congress their oversight role?
You don't have a business reason to be here.
You do not have authority, sir.
You
do not have authority.
Access entrance.
There is no authority for you to deny members of Congress their oversight responsibility.
We're the appropriate.
If you have an appointment and you're on a guest list, we will let you in.
It's a problem.
Can I ask you a question? Is what you're saying?
Or you have to have an escort.
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask my question? Are you telling me today that you have to be on a guest list in order to come to the Department of Education?
Either we are informed in advance if somebody's coming, or
you were informed in advance. 94 members of Congress.
Take you where you're going.
Sir.
Yes, yes, yes. Maxine Waters. Now, the one that I take the most issue with in this pathetic, disgraceful mob is none other than Maxine Waters. Maxine Waters is a Black supremacist. Let me say that again so that I am being savagely truthful in this moment. Maxine Waters is a Black supremacist who has spent her entire career preaching racial division while doing absolutely nothing to uplift the Black community. And instead of promoting self-reliance, economic empowerment, and education, she pushes a toxic victimhood mentality that keeps Black Americans dependent on the very government that has failed them for decades, and especially the education system, which, by the way, in her district, the average education level, in, especially when it comes to reading and literacy, is about third grade, okay? She praises criminals, she demonizes law enforcement, and encourages mob violence, all the while living in her multi-million dollar mansion far away from the crime-ridden neighborhood she claims to fight for. Now, I know that for a fact because she came here to Minnesota charging, getting people all riled up to take action in the streets, right? Waters is a traitor to the Black race because she actively works against real solutions like school choice, like economic opportunity and strong family values. That would actually, those things would actually help Black Americans succeed. Rather than inspiring Black entrepreneurship and self-sufficiency, she keeps her constituents trapped in a cycle of poverty and government dependence, all to maintain her own power. That's the only reason why she does it. This is why I celebrate the greatest number of Black Americans voting for Trump in this past November, right? It signifies this shift, this real shift that threatens the Democrat Party altogether, but it also signifies a real awakening for Black Americans. Perhaps a movement to be Americans, not just Black in America, okay? That's the distinction. That's what I'm excited about. Maxine Waters doesn't really believe all the rhetoric and the racial tropes she spews. And I know that because she lives in a $4 million mansion in Hancock Park, where less than 3% of the population is Black. So she has all this rhetoric, all this divisive language, all this spewing of hate for white people, especially white men. And then she goes off and she buys a mansion living amongst the very same people she claims to hate. She doesn't really believe in all the racist rhetoric about the bedeviled white race, then goes home to a 97% white population city. She's a con. She is absolutely a phony. And not just to Black Americans, but to Congress. Maxine Waters has been a disgrace to Congress for decades, spewing divisive rhetoric and pushing policies that have done nothing but harm the very people she claims to represent. And instead of focusing on real solutions to improve her district, which is plagued by crime, is plagued by homelessness and economic decay, she has spent her career stoking racial tensions and calling for harassment of political opponents. She's a loudmouth. You saw it in the video. She embodies everything that is wrong with the Democratic Party. Corruption, ineffectiveness, and obsessed with power rather than actually achieving results. Now, while hardworking Americans struggle under failed leftist policies, Waters continues to live in luxury, completely detached from the suffering in her own district. This woman has made a career out of grandstanding and spreading lies, like you saw in front of the Department of Education, all while doing absolutely nothing to uplift the Black community, the people she supposedly belonged to. She encouraged mob harassment of conservatives. She openly called for violence, yet she faces zero consequences from the liberal media or her Democrat colleagues. If a Republican said half of what she has said, they'd be crucified. Her reckless words and shameless hypocrisy prove that she cares more about staying in power than actually solving problems. And this is why they're reacting so critically, right, so fervently to all the actions that Donald Trump is taking. It's because Maxine Waters is a disgrace to Congress, a fraud to her constituents, and a prime example of why career politicians like her are ruining this country. And Donald Trump is coming for them. Now, the reason why Democrats are so fervently reacting to this action with regard to shutting down or throwing out the idea of shutting down the Department of Education is because it would strip them of the one of their most powerful tools for controlling the minds of future generations, right? For decades, they've used the federal education system to push leftist propaganda, to drown students in woke ideology and keep parents out of the decision-making process. If Trump dismantles the Department of Education, that power shifts back to the states where it belongs. It shifts it back to local communities. And most importantly, it shifts it back to parents, something the radical left cannot and will not tolerate. Now, without federal bureaucrats dictating curriculum and protecting corrupt teachers' unions, schools would be free to prioritize real education over political indoctrination. Democrats know that an educated, independent thinking population is a threat to their very agenda, which is why they will do everything in their power to keep Washington in control of America's classrooms. So we have to be on the lookout for that. Now, as I move on, I got to talk about someone that I am a super big fan of, and it would just make me feel like I have a complete whole piece of the pie. And that, my friends, is in the title, Kash Patel. Kash Patel and his confirmation, which has actually endured a little bit of a punt. Now, as you all know, Kash Patel, Donald Trump's pick for FBI director, squared off with Democrats on Capitol Hill, faring very well and holding his own, I must say, proving to many that he has the chops. Absolutely. He's tough enough. He's strong enough. He's brave enough. He's courageous enough. And he's savage enough, okay, to lead the FBI and return it to an entity that the American people can begin to trust again. Right? Democrats, unfortunately, succeeded last Thursday in delaying a committee vote to advance the confirmation for Kash. That vote was supposed to occur at 10:15 a.m. last Thursday. It was pushed to later this coming week after Senate Democrats demanded a second hearing from the Trump-aligned former Defense Department official, citing concerns about his previous remarks and about his candor. Now, in a statement Tuesday night, Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa said that attempts by top Judiciary Democrat Dick Durbin and others to force Patel to testify again were baseless, as he already sat before the committee for more than 5+ hours and disclosed thousands upon thousands of pages of records to the panel, as well as nearly 150 pages of responses to lawmakers and their written questions. Now, Democrats also said that Patel failed to account for his actions and remarks made on podcasts, on social media, and in his book, saying that in their way, in their view, Patel failed to ease any of their concerns last week during the nearly 6-hour confirmation hearing. Okay, they're really putting him through it, including questions of whether he would take moves to ensure the Bureau can continue to act without political interference. Is this the same Bureau that I've been watching for the last 4 years? Are you kidding me? You know, like it was under the Biden administration. Very fair and impartial. So we are watching out for, we're hoping for Kash Patel. Getting Kash Patel in would make me, like I said, feel like I had that whole final slice of the pie. And it really would make me celebrate simply because we would have this beast, this savage administration with Hegseth and Patel and RFK in there doing what it needs to be done to get our society back, right? To get truth back, for the American people to realign and regain trust in our abbreviated agency. So congratulations. I still say delay is not denial. Hang in there. But it's the one thing that I'm watching out for this week. Now, I end that and go into some disgust. Because when it comes to loudmouth Democrats and all that they have to say and all the garbage that they spew out, I think of one person in particular in the last 3-4 days, and that is the one and only Jasmine Crockett, who is really trying to make a name for herself in Congress right now. She went off on this racist rant on CNN. We're going to talk about it because once again, a Democrat has exposed the left's blatant hypocrisy on race. And this time it's Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. Now, during a CNN appearance, she lashed out over the appointment of Darren Beatty as Secretary of the Diplomacy and Public Affairs. Now, listen, folks, I got to be honest with you. No one actually even knows what that title is or what that role is. It's not really something that, you know, I think is going to really change anything here in America. But Donald Trump appointed it. He clearly knows a little more than we do. But this isn't a role that I think has everyone all up in arms, because when you actually say the title, Secretary of Diplomacy and Public Affairs, no one actually knows what that is or what it means, or the person that served as the last Secretary of Diplomacy and Public Affairs. It's more about the terrible and disgusting commentary that came out of the mouth of Jasmine Crockett. And before we go on, let me just have Rick play this clip, because you have to hear what she actually said. Go ahead, Rick, play that clip.
We saw what he literally recently just posted, and the coddling is for the white boys. That's what's happening right now. I am tired of the white tears. Listen, if you are competent, you are not concerned. When I walk into Congress every single day, you know why I don't feel a way and why you can't make me doubt who I am? Is because I know that I had to work 10 times as hard as they did just to get into the seat. When you look and you compare me to Marjorie Taylor Greene or me to Lauren Boebert, there is no comparison. And that is the life that we have always lived. So the only people that are crying are the mediocre white boys that have been beaten out by people that historically have had to work so much harder. This is why they don't want us to have education.
Yeah. And there she is, spewing outright racist rhetoric by declaring that the coddling is for the white boys and I'm tired of the white tears. Now, imagine for a moment, if you would. You all have seen my husband, Brad, right? Imagine having Brad here saying, you know, the coddling is for the black girls and I'm tired of the black tears. Right? That would go viral instantly. Having a white male say he's tired, not even black women, right? Black girls, right? And tired of the black tears. Imagine if a Republican had said something remotely similar about any other race, there would be immediate outrage, calls for resignation, and a media firestorm. But because Crockett is a Democrat, she gets a free pass to spew her racism, divisive garbage with zero consequences. The same party that constantly cries about equity and inclusion, demonizing an entire race when it doesn't fit their narrative. Here's the irony, because it's almost laughable. Democrats claim to be the party of tolerance and unity, yet here they are, openly embracing racial hatred as long as the target is white. Now, Crockett's disgusting comments reveal the truth. The savage truth here is the modern left doesn't want equality. They want revenge. They are hell-bent on revenge. They're getting beat up. They're getting stomped out. They're getting knocked around day after day, multiple times a day since Trump has been in office, and they're angry about it. To them, merit, qualifications, and competence does not matter. It's all about race and identity politics. They're going to double down on what they've held dear to for so long, what has helped them win. Darren Beatty was appointed because he is qualified for the position, I'm going to assume. I'm going to trust Trump in that appointment. But instead of engaging in a legitimate debate over his credentials, Crockett resorts to race baiting and childish insults. Her words are not just offensive. They're beyond that. They are dangerous. They fuel racial division and send the message that white America should be ashamed for simply existing. And I'm married to the white man, so I'm going to tell you this. That is not the case. You will not erase my hubby. But of course, the mainstream media and Democrat leadership will pretend this never happened. There will be no calls for accountability, no corporate sponsors pulling support, No endless CNN panels decrying her hateful rhetoric. And why? Because the left doesn't actually care about racism. They only care about using race as a weapon when it benefits them politically. If Democrats truly believed in equality, they would condemn Crockett's remark just as forcibly as they would if a Republican white male had said the same thing. But they won't, because in their twisted worldview, racism is the only wrong when it doesn't serve their agenda. And this kind of double standard is precisely why Americans are fed up with the left's hypocrisy. It's why they voted for Donald Trump to the tune of 72% of the American electorate. Crockett's remarks weren't just offensive. They were rooted in the poisonous ideology of race-based division. And people are just frankly sick of it. Okay. She wasn't calling out a specific policy or action. They never do. She was making a blanket condemnation of an entire demographic, which is the very definition of a racist, a bigot, a black supremacist. Yet, CNN and the CNN host nodded along, offering zero pushback, proving once again that leftist agenda outlets are complicit in the normalization of anti-white rhetoric. And I, for one, am not having it. It's long past time to call the nonsense out for what it is. And that's what it is. She's a black supremacist. Okay. She has the IQ of a doorknob. And the Democrat Party and its media allies have no more authority to preach about racism while openly endorsing comments like Crockett. If we want a truly equal society, as they say they want, we really truly want it on this side. Okay. Then racist rhetoric, no matter the target, must be condemned across the board. If the left refuses to hold their own accountable, the American people will do it for them at the ballot box. And we will repeat, and we will put in another Trump-like candidate. And we'll go on and on and on every 4 years. Okay? America deserves better than race-obsessed radicals like Jasmine Crockett poisoning our discourse. This country should be focused on policies that unite, not rhetoric that divides. If Democrats had any integrity left at all, and I don't believe they do, I think that tank is empty, they would denounce her hateful comments and demand higher standards from their own leaders. But we already know they won't, because division and resentment and racial scapegoating are exactly what keep them in power. But the Trump administration has been winning on so many fronts, proving once again that real leadership is about action. It takes action, not empty rhetoric. From dismantling bureaucratic overreach to securing victories from the economy, national security, and education reform, President Donald J. Trump has shown that he is fighting tirelessly for the American people, for you and for me. The left, meanwhile, continues to spiral into chaos. They simply don't know what to do because he's just banging them up. And it's happening so very quickly. They don't have enough time to form an opinion or make any commentary. They are desperate. They are desperately clinging to their radical agenda of division, dependency, and government control. They have tried everything. Witch hunts, media propaganda, outright lies to stop Trump. But they have failed, and they will continue to fail, because the truth is on our side. This is the savage truth here on this show. The American people see through their deception, and every victory for Trump is a victory for freedom, prosperity, and common sense, which is how we won this election. But we cannot get complacent, mind you. The radical left will stop at nothing to push their destructive ideology, using every dirty trick in the book to undermine our country. They want to erase American values. They want to silence dissent and replace patriotism with woke extremism. That's why we must remain vigilant. We must remain engaged and ready to fight back at every turn. Trump is leading the charge, but it's up to all of us to stand firm, reject the lies of the left, and ensure that America stays on the path of strength, independence, and greatness. The momentum is on our side now. Let's keep winning and demolish the failed ideology that threatens our future. And in continuance of the winning, I thank you so very much. Now, Donald Trump, really quickly, because we got to talk about this. I love this, Rick. This is such a great way to end the show. Ah! In tradition to winning, Donald Trump on February 5th, and I'm sure you've all seen it. The optics are beautiful. Donald Trump signed an executive order titled Keeping Men Out of Women's Sports, which explicitly bans transgender athletes from competing in girls and women's sports events. Now, this landmark decision is a resounding victory for fairness, bringing the long-running debate about transgender athletes competing in women's sports to a firm conclusion. It's over. We have put a period on it. We have closed the curtain. We've picked it up. We put it in a box. We sealed it, and we threw it overboard. The optics of the signing were perfect. Rick, let's just show it real quick. Let's play it.
We have a 10. God bless you, Mr. President. Pretty good, huh? Okay?
Good.
Now you're going to go out and win those events, right? Nice to see you all. Nice to see you. Great going, everybody. Nice to see you. Thank you, kids. Here. Take a pen.
Thank you.
I'll give some of these out, okay? Take a pen. Take a pen.
Thank you so much.
Where's Riley?
Oh my goodness, that was so great. So great. Those girls are so cute. Trump was surrounded by young women and women and girls, female athletes who cheered for this much needed protection. How absurd is it that such a law even needed to be signed in the first place, right? It's a no-brainer that a biological male should not be allowed to compete against women in sports. Yet here we are. Here we are, applauding a victory that should have never had to be fought in the first place. And it's appalling that in 2025, this debate is even happening. But it is, and it's exactly the kind of insanity that the left has unleashed upon our society. This is what you get when you allow leftists to lead our country. But thanks to Donald Trump and his decisive action, we now have clarity. It's about protecting women. And only women who are biologically female should compete in women's sports. Now, for too long, women's rights and opportunities were being trampled on by the progressive push to allow men to compete in female categories. Okay, we need to get them out of our sports, but we also need them out of our locker rooms and our sororities, get them off our runways. Okay, this executive order finally restores a sense of justice for female athletes who have been pushed aside in favor of a radical agenda. We're celebrating. We are celebrating the fact that, at least for now, fairness has prevailed. But let's not lose sight of the bigger issue here. This entire situation was created by the left's obsession with woke identity politics. And it's ridiculous that we even had to stage a fight to protect the integrity of women's sports. The mere fact that we needed a law to ensure biological women are treated fairly in their own category of competition speaks volumes about how far we've fallen in the name of political correctness. It shouldn't be a partisan issue, folks, but thanks to radical leftists pushing their agenda, it has indeed become just that. But this agenda order isn't just a victory for athletes. It's a victory for decency. Okay. It's about time that common sense won the day because for so long, we've watched our society bend over backward to appease a tiny fraction of people while the majority gets trampled in the process. But Trump's leadership has put a firm stop to this madness, sending a clear message that the voices of the average American and the rights of women still matter in this country. That's what I'm celebrating. So let's be blunt. This is a massive win for decency and a major step in taking back control from the political left. Trump's order has made it clear No more pretending that reality doesn't exist. Women's sports will remain for women. The transgender movement's attempt to redefine that is over, and it's about time. We all know that the war on women's sports has been raging for years, but thanks to Trump, it's officially over. Now we can get back to celebrating women in sports, not debating whether a man can take their place. We are winning. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as always, be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely. The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.